A couple of questions here. I'll start with one question. With the question that we raised on with Shabbos on the Dvarim. You got Dvarim there? Dvarim, okay. That's Farmer. Okay. All right. Question was that in last week's Sedra, so when Moshe Rabbeinu reviews the incident with the Meraglim and the Mapilim, so he says, he reviews the incident, and then he says that Dvarim Aleph, Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vatanu Vatomer Eleich, Hatanu Lashem. Anachnu Nalev and Elchamnu, Kachol Shetzvanu Rishon Lakeno. So, and then it says, and then he says, yeah, and then he says, yeah, okay. Pasuk Menhei, Vatashuva Vatifku Lifnei Hashem, Lo Shoma Hashem B'Kolchem V'Lo Hezin Aleichem. Okay, so apparently said they were mispowel, and because says Vatifku they cried, and Lo Shoma Hashem B'Kolchem, so apparently they were mispowel, V'Lo Hezin Aleichem. So Rashi says Kavayochol Asisa Midas Rachamav Kiilu Achzori. So it says it's as if you made God's midas rachamim as if he's an achzari, as if God's bochan is an achzari. So apparently it was an avera to be mispaul. They shouldn't have been mispaul. So that was even worse, the fact that they were mispaul. Why is it achzari? Because God didn't answer them. So the question we had was from this week's Sedra. Was Chanan al Hashem ba'isai lemar? So Moshe Rabbeinu was misspelled many times, Likanes Loretz. And over there it says the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ba'isabra Hashem bilamanchem lo shomai lavim Hashem elai Rav Loch. Okay, Rav Loch, so Rashi says, it's enough. Don't be misspelled anymore. Why? Shelayomru harav kama koshev atalmid kama sarvon omafzer. They shouldn't say that the Rebbe is so hard, means a meaning of Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Talmud, look how stubborn he is. He keeps on persisting. So apparently over here, it wasn't the same thing. It's not the same as why don't I have the same argument over here also? Say that he shouldn't have been mispaled because it'll appear like Kavayochol Kilu Yachzori. And why don't you say the same thing or say the same thing over there? That they shouldn't have been mispaled because it'll look like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kasha. But you see, there's two different treatments for this thing. What's the difference? But apparently sometimes tefillah is bad, and in tefillah one worsens the situation because he makes it appear as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an achzari. And that kind of a tefillah, you're not allowed to be mispowel. What exactly is that kind of tefillah? What are you talking about? Okay. Hopefully we'll come back to this question. Okay. But let me start now with the direct area of the Inyana Diyama, okay. Yeah, just one thing before we start, the interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Perakei Lochit Aleph. The Rambam says, V'asa likros b'tishabav b'torah o b'ksuvim. Uba Mishnah, uba Halachos, uba Gemara, uba Agaras. They're not allowed to, apparently they're not allowed to study any of these things. Torah Nevi'im b'ksuvim. And Mishnah, Halachos, Gemaras, and Agaras. The Eina Kore says, Ela b'iyuv, uba Kinos, b'dvar marom shabim yo. Yeah. So, I mean, so everybody learns from Ghost of Pshad is because bad things. I mean, bad things is more to learn, good things is bad to learn. Not a lot to learn. So, I mean, so why, what about other areas? What about, for instance, the Tochacha? Why can't you learn that? So, why does Rambam say that Asulik Ras Batara? What about Tochacha? And Dvar Marayim should be Yirmiyo. I mean, so it should be Dvar Marayim in all different Nevi'im. And also, he says, Eina Kara Ela B'Iyuv. So why Iyuv? So everybody understands, because Iyuv is Dvar Marayim. And it's easily classed together, one thing. But really, I mean, I would say Kehelis. There's Kehelis is very sad. I mean, Kehelis is the breakdown of man's fantasy of immortality and the psychological struggle and the impossibility of success. I mean, that's really Kehelis. I mean, so well, why don't you study that? It's an interesting Rambam. Yeah. Another thing that's difficult with the Rambam is like this. The Rambam says, Talmid, what is the role of Talmid HaChachamim? I mean, how are they supposed to appear today or be knowing today? So the Rambam says, Talmid HaChachamim ein osnin zelo zeh sholom b'tish abov. Eli yoshvim dovim v'ne'enochim ka'avelim. So they're in a state of mourning. Okay, sad and depressed and upset, I mean, suffering, kavelim. Okay, so, v'nosn l'mamar tshom, azim l'lov v'suffer rough v'kovid rosh. So, I mean, so what is the Talmid Chacham doing today? I mean, it's a funny thing. Like, is he yoshei v'domeim, like an oval? I mean, that's it. So then he's not learning. Funny kind of thing. I mean, he's just, he's Yoshua like an oval. So, but then the Rambam, the same Rambam, he says, Yikorei in Kinas and Dvarim Ram should be M.E.O. I mean, it's a funny kind of a thing. Like, what is the Talmud Chacham's function today? What is he doing? But I think really that the two questions is one is answered by the other.
The phone that he's talking into, he's taking a shear.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know.
Now what it means is like this, really. The question we raised that why are there other areas that you could learn today? Other areas. All said it. Teichacha, I mean. Many Midrash Chazal that deal with sad things. But I think the answer is like this. The answer is that there are two initiations of Limud. The one initiation of Limud is from the inner world of the person. You see, it's a spontaneous initiation, okay? That a person is thinking about something, it's on his mind, and then he pursues it intellectually. The intellectual pursuit stems from an inner source, okay? It's kind of like an automatic learning. He's moved, his soul is moved by something. And that movement of the soul engenders an intellectual pursuit. Okay, that's a kind of an initiation of Limud. But there's another initiation of Limud, which is really fact that the time has a certain program. I mean, you have so the time is the moed, is demands a limud. So the zman and the situation is what draws the person and is machayev him to engage in certain areas of knowledge. Okay? So I believe that's the answer to the Rambam. What the Rambam is saying like this. What does that mean? That you're not allowed to learn any Chazal and Midrashim aside from? I mean, the Rambam's very clear in his words. He says, V'eino kori ela be'iyuv v'bekinus v'dvarim v'rashab yama. It would imply that if, for instance, let's say we wanted to learn a Medrash now. A Medrash that wasn't a Medrash on Eicha. Okay? By the way, Eicha is included in Kinos, because Eicha is the Sefer of Kinos. So he doesn't have to mention Eicha. So basically it's three things. It's Iyuv, Eicha, and Dvarim Ram Shabiyamiyo, and of course the Kinnis that that we have as well. I mean, all the Kinnis. But what the Rambam means is that there's two kinds of drawing a person into the intellectual sphere. One is from the inner man's inner world, and one is from an outer situation. Like I mentioned, by that Moshe Smarter Hashem al Bnei Yisrael. So the Rambam is really classifying these two things. In the beginning, he's saying that he's Yoshev Dova V'Nenoch Kavel. Okay, that means that the inner world of the person is like an oval. And of course, anything, any kind of area that's drawn from that inner, drawn to from that inner world, is definitely mutter, even though it's not a part of the three that the Rambam is mentioning, you see. Because it stems from an ordinary oval, thinks about the loss, and his mind starts thinking about different elements of the loss, the personal loss. But the individual that's moved by the Churban HaBayis is in a similar way moved by his thoughts about the Churban. So any Chazal that has to do with the Churban HaBayis is mutter, and there's a part of that limud. That's the first part of the Rama. That's part of the fact that he's Yoshvin, that the Yoshvin Dovin Ven Anochem Kavelim. And this is simply an expression of the Avelos. In other words, the Limud is simply an expression of the Avelos. And it could be any Chazal that has to do with the Inyan of the Migdash. Not just exclusively the areas that the Rambam mentions. Any area whatsoever, that the person who is a Talmud Chacham and is thinking about and his mind is drawn to that memra, to that statement, that's automatically, you see, an automatic component of his mental avelus. So that's naturally a part of the state and the kium belev of Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is essentially a Kiyum Belev. So that Kiyum Belev really draws on a lot of information that he has, and everything becomes a part of the Kiyum of Avelus. But when the Rambam says Vein Akore, what the Rambam is referring to an initiation. What is the limud of the day? That's a different question. That's Vein Akore means that if the person is not involved in pursuing his thoughts with regard to the Churban HaBayis, but he's just sitting, doing nothing. So is there a program for the day? In other words, is there a program of limud? So the answer is, there is. And the program of limud is the program of Iyuv, three things. Kinos, that includes the Eicha, of course, and Devar Marom Shebiyamiyo. Only That's the only program. Why not the Tocha? The answer is because it has to. The program is really the Inyana Diyoma. So that's really the essential Churban HaBayis. So that's why it's Dvar Maharam Shebi Yemiyahu. So it's the Dvar Maharam Shebi Yemiyahu, and Dvar Maharam Shebi Yemiyahu is the events, the subject matter of the events. That's Dvar Maharam Shebi Yemiyahu. And Kinos is the involvement of the person in the tragedy of the Churban. The tragedy of the Churban that can't be fathomed. That can't be fathomed. And that's the area of Kinos. Eiv is a question. What is Eiv doing there? That's a question. Two of them we understand. Okay. Dvarim Aram Shebi Yemiyahu is the text and the events, the account of what happened. And Kinos is the involvement of the person on the level of personal involvement in the tragedy and perception of the tragedy. All right, we'll talk about that in a while.
No, it's...
But the Eiv remains a question. What is what is Eiv doing there? Okay.
Rambam, not his thing. The Rambam
doesn't
put it in
there.
Okay. Let's take another Rambam.
Certainly correct. He's saying one
thing
out of the other, what happened, and two is the
Kinos. Somebody has to turn off their.
It's not
in your idea. Somebody has to put on the mute switch.
I understand, right?
Okay. Okay. All right. Now.
The Gemara.
The Rambam says.
Yeah.
Take the first Rambam.
As you can. The first Rama.
Rama says that Yeyesham Dvarim Shekol Yisrael Misanim Bahem Bnei Atzoros Sheiru Bahem Kedei La'or Alavavos Lestoach Dake Atshuva. So that's in contradistinction to the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Tanyos, where the Rambam says that he says, Mitzvah say Luzog Reba Chatzotra, so I'll call Tzova, or I'll call Tzor, Shetova LaTzibor. And then he says, V'dova Zemi Darki Atshuva, Shebizman Shetova Tzor, V'yizik Ola, V'yiril Yedu HaKol, Shebizgoam HaSem Meroyim Hurlen, Kakosov HaMasem Yichem Mehitu, V'zeo Shiyugum LaHosra Tzor Me'alem. Okay. So, but Im Lo Yizikul, V'lo Yiril, but they'll say that this is Minaga Olam, Okay, so why isn't it the same thing over here? What's the difference between Perek Aleph and Perek Hamishi? Okay, so the difference obviously is because the halacha in Perek Aleph is only where there's an existing Torah. Okay, but you'll say, but now also there's an existing Tzara, because the Rambam mentions, Achagoram Lohem Velonu Osana Tzaros. So that means that these Tzaros are existing now. So if these Tzaros are existing now, so why don't we have the mitzvahs of Sein Midaraisa? Because apparently the Rambam, this, what we're doing now, is not a mitzvah of Sein Midaraisa, because it says, Yeshom Yomim Shekol Yisrael Mesanim Bahem Bnei Atzoros. Kedei La'or Alavavos Leftoch Darkei Atshuva. But it's not the same thing as Mitzvah Sasei Min HaTorah Lizog L'Ariba Chatzotres. We don't do Chatzotres. So what is essentially the difference between the two? Yeah. So that Tzoros exists now as well. Because the Rambam says, Achagom lehem v'lano asno Tzoros. So apparently the Tzoros exists. But apparently the difference is, in terms of the mitzvah, that the mitzvah really is to define an event in reality. In other words, in the mitzvah, so say, in the beginning of the Vilkos Tainis, what the Rambam is saying is the mitzvah is how we relate to an occurring event, an occurrence. So it's a mitzvah in terms of the reality of a certain event. But something that happened in the past, something that happened years ago, an event in the past, even though we currently suffer the effects of the event, but it's not the same status as an event that's taking place right now. So apparently the mitzvah on Klal Yisrael is to define a certain reality. How the mitzvah of Lizog Lirbach Tzotros is how Klal Yisrael acts in the face of a certain current phenomenon. And that, how they engage with reality, in a certain situation of reality. But something in the past is not considered a situation of reality. It's a different kind of a thing. It's something you may be suffering the effects of the occurrence, but you're not encountering the occurrence directly. So the mitzvah saseh mitaraisa is to define the Yad Hashem in action. How you react to something which is an untoward event, and that mitzvah is framed only in that frame of reference. But then there's something else. Events occur, and events pass, and events leave a certain mark and a certain effect. That's a different kind of a phenomenon. That's really, there's no mitzvah mitaraisa. There's no mechayev mitaraisa. Kiyum mitaraisa there is. But there's no mechayev mitaraisa, really, to act in the same way as one would to an occurring event. There's no mitzvah lizok l'riyah b'chatzotzros. I'll call tzor shalotel v'atzibor. So that's a different kind of a thing. It's an event in the past, it's gone, and now we're suffering the effects. So there, Chazal instituted l'ftoach darkei atshuva in order to open up the darkei atshuva. So that's a kiyum, that's of course a kiyum in a raisa. So we have an opportunity to b'chozer b'tshuva, in relationship to the event. But over here we have to make recourse to a different medium, because there's no ongoing event, so we have to make recourse to the medium of Zichron Advar. That's the concept of Zichron Advar. And the Zichron Advar is brought about through the fact that we deal with the days on which the event occurred. The thing that ties us in to the event is the day. Because the day is the day that is related to the event. That's the Zichron Advar. Okay. But there's an interesting thing in the Rama. That's the basic format. That is true. It's also Lora Lestar Dake Tshuva, but it's in a different manner than in the beginning of the of Vilkos Tainis. But Agav Ruch Ram mentioned something interesting. He says The year says Zichron L'Maaseinu Haroyim. Our bad actions, Maasei Avoseinu, and the actions of our fathers, Shehoya K'Maaseinu Ata, that are just like our actions in the present. But of course the question is, who says they're the same? Maaseinu, every door is the exact same Averis? That seems like a pretty untrue assumption, rash assumption, to say that every door has the same Averis. Chazal say, for instance, Chorban Beis HaMikdash, why? Because they want to know, covered Zebazet, so that means every single door is the exact same Avera. There are different Averis and different levels of Avera. So why should we say that the Doros HaKadmonim are engaged in the same Averis that we're engaged in now? It's an interesting question. On the contrary, usually a person should be more humble and should say that that he should place Maase Avos on a higher plane. And with regard to the Averis, one should say that the Averis of the former Doros, or the earlier Doros, were not the same as ours. And perhaps we're worse. Why should we give ourselves that kind of comfort by saying that they're just as bad as us? There is a certain level of easing of responsibility and guilt. If you say, well, they're also that way. It's a strange kind of Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that, he seems to emphasize. He says, Zichron L'Maaseinu Haroyim U'Maaseinu Haroyim Shehoya K'Maaseinu Ata. Achegoram lahem v'lanu osan atzaros. Okay, you follow the question? Yeah. But I think the answer is like this. See, the Rambam says that it's Achegoram lahem v'lanu osan atzaros. So the Rambam says, in other words, that the ikkar over here is to be concerned with the causative agent of the tzoras that we experience. That's really the purpose of the day. That's the purpose of the day. Achegoram lahem v'lanu osan atzaros. So the purpose of the day is to be concerned with that which caused us to be in this situation, and the unfortunate situation that we are in now. So it's not really a reckoning of which door is worse. It doesn't really matter. What matters is in terms of the effect. And in terms of the effect on the door, the effect is the same because it's simply Chorban HaBayis. And in terms of Chorban HaBayis, it doesn't make any difference whether one door was better or one door was worse. The door was better. Still, it was as if the Mikdash was Nechrav B'yamav, B'yamayim. Okay? And every year, it's like one of the piyutim we're just reading before, one of the piyutim by Rav Elazar Kalir, where he says one of the kinnis, where he says that in every door, it's a hot piyut to interpret, but he says in every door it's a new aspect. why is it a new husband really in every door? Yeah, one of the Kenneth over here, he says in every door it's a new husband. So why is it really a new husband in every door? I mean, what is new about it? But the answer is because the answer is what is new is the constancy of the situation. Because it means that we are in the Zufim. That we are, the fact that we don't have a Migdash means that the Ashgacha has thrown us away. It was there, you got it? Yeah. It's Al Chorban Beis HaMikdash, Chof Dalet. Ki hu Esfa Chiyudash, Espa B'chol Shana V'Shana Mispeit Chadash, Al HaKodesh El HaMikdash. Okay? So it's a Mispeit Chadash because in every door, we're thrown away. Like the Navi says in Eicha, that all these things are true today, which is Eicha Yod Ba'apa Hashem Basion Ishloch Mishmayim Eretz the first Yisrael Bila Hashem Belochamal. It means in every door that's true. Because as long as we don't have the Migdash, it means that the Ashgacha has thrown us away, and we're Nezufim. And if we're in that state. So as long as we're in that state, so it's not something that you can get over. It's a constant thing. It's a constant thing. You can't say it happened almost 2,000 years ago. It means, because right now, it means that we don't find favor in God's eyes. And Hishlich Mishamayim Eretz, the Pharisee Yisrael, is true today, just like it was in the time of the Mikdash. That's what Chazal say, every door doesn't have Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Kilo Nechrov B'yamav. It means it's the exact same thing. So it's as if the Hashgacha did that to us today. So, and that's really, without that idea, you really can't be Dorag al HaKorban. If it's an event in the past, and now we're just in a certain state, because of that, then that's something of the past. But if it's a current phenomenon, which means that the Charon Af Hashem, the Panim Zomos, is here as long as there's no Mikdash. So we live under that state of being Mushlachim. So that is a tragedy. That's a tragedy that's always new and always hurts us. So Achegom Lem V'Lono Osun Atzaros. So what the Rambam is talking about is not simply the chate of the door. The chate of the door, every door is unique and every door has its own chatoyim. And we shouldn't be so arrogant to say that our door is as good as any other doors in the past. But it means insofar as the Churban HaBayis is concerned. I mean, that's really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to involve ourselves in darkei atshuva, not just on stam tshuva. I mean, tshuva is always good, but it means tshuva that has to do specifically with the area of the Churban HaBayis. And why we're suffering today, and why the Ashgacha has thrown us away, and why we're in a Zufim, you see. So that's why, that's what the Rambam means, really. So if that's the case, so what the Rambam really means is that the mitzvah is to identify certain trends. To identify certain trends. That's really the mitzvah. To identify certain trends of chatoyim that would lead us to be deserving of Churban HaBayis. I mean, that's the meaning of the Rambam. So the Zichron L'Maseinu Aroyim, L'Maseh L'Maseinu Sheikah L'Maseinu Atah, at Shagron L'Maseinu Aroyim, L'Maseinu Aroyim, means, and as you can think, Shavzichron Dvarim Elu, Noshiv L'Hetiv, Shenema V'Svados V'Venu V'Svonu V'Svonu. So it means that the area of involvement over here is an area of involvement that has to do with the things that lead to the Churban HaBayis, that lead to the Churban HaBayis, that area of tshuva. And in that area, we're equal. In that area, we're equal. Because if we weren't equal, or if the other door was superior, then the Mikdash would have been built. Okay. So that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam means to identify certain trends. To identify certain trends. Nachpaso derachinu v'nachkor v'nashuv al Hashem. Okay. Yeah. So we'll come back to that, and we'll come back to that soon. But I just want to mention a couple other points about the mitzvah of involving oneself in the kinos aspect, which means that one should immerse oneself in the tragedy. That's a It's an unusual mitzvah in the Klal Yisrael. I mean, ordinarily you have your midos, tefillah, and over here the mitzvah really is to just engage into to immerse ourselves in the horror and the bad state of the tragedy, and that itself is the mitzvah. Yeah. Interesting is the general approach of the Navi. The general approach of the Navi in is that the one over there? There's something different here. What's different here is that ordinarily when a tragedy reaches its full proportion, so it's over. It's gone. And there's nothing more to talk about. But over here, what's strange is that we consider the tragedy to have reached its full-blown proportion, but nevertheless, somehow it's not over. Somehow it's not over. Over, then we wouldn't be doing this. We're engaged in the tragedy and the sadness because it's not over. Because, and that's really the idea of the, I think I mentioned that last year, the concept of Nechama, that really not supposed to have Nechama on Tisha B'Av. There's no Nechama on Tisha B'Av. So why is it that you do have mention Nechama, and especially the second half of the day, there is a mention of Nechama, and even in the tefillah you say that the Beishat Osed Levnosa. So you mentioned the Nechama, but the reason for that Nechama is a different reason. It's not because it's actually a real Nechama. Real Nechama is not, has no place today. Today's not a day for Nechama. Today is a day for Avelos and real Avelos. But the Ein lo Menachem Mikol Avelos. There is no Nechama. because the tragedy is of immense proportions, and it cannot be. There's no room for any kind of nechama. If you feel there's no room for nechama, so then it means that the tragedy hasn't reached full proportion. And throughout Eicha, you see again and again, Ein lo menachem, and there's no hope and there's no nechama. So there's no nechama, but at the same time, it's not over. It's not over. And that has to do with understanding the nature of the tragedy. I think it's a format really of Sefer Eicha that you have to understand in order to comprehend the whole backdrop of what Eicha is about. And in Eicha, you see that Klal Yisrael doesn't view itself as being alone. It doesn't just view itself as being alone with God, and no one else matters. There are no other nations. It's just us. Nobody else matters. We don't need other nations. If a person feels that way, and many people do feel that way, then the Sefer Eicha doesn't really unravel properly, because In the Sefer of Eicha, you see, the Navi always talks about the other nations, Rabosi Bagoyim, and how we related to the other nations, and even the fact that the other nations ridiculed us, and how they viewed us, how they looked upon us, and how they were happy. Vayisamach alayich oyev. So, Shamuki Nenochoni Eimen Eim Menachem Way. Pasuk says in the end of the first parak. Kol Oivai Shamu Rasi Sosu. Kiyato Asiso. Okay? So, what do we care? What is it our concern? I mean, what do we care about? Who cares about them? You see, but that's not the attitude of Klal Yisrael. Apparently, Klal Yisrael is, as an entity, a social phenomenon. It has a social status among the nations. And that status is of significance. And it's of significance not just los ad lovo. It's very interesting, but I believe you just can't learn Eicha without recognizing this. It's not just a status of los ad lovo where the other nations will recognize, like the Navi says, Nachon Yiyah Har Hashem, Barosh Ha'orin, V'Nisgav Mikvos, that the other nations will come and will recognize the Klal Yisrael, and they'll say Yerein Midrachov, they'll go to Beis Yaakov, and they should ask for Limud. Apparently, that's not the only role of Klal Yisrael. Because even before that, you see, in the time of the, where that wasn't the case, but nevertheless, Klal Yisrael talks about other nations when it says, for instance, Lo Alechem Kol Ovrei Derech. So it's talking to other nations, and Shimuno Kol Amim, Ru Machovi, the Sulosei Vachurei Ocho Vashevi. So the Klal Yisrael is an entity which lives in a social framework with other nations, just like a yochid lives in a social framework with other human beings. As a matter of fact, Chazal derive a lot of things from Eicha. And it says, the Gemara says from here you see, Rashi says, that mikam lekuvlanam min haTorah, that a person complains that's min haTorah, that a person should be modia tzairo l'rabban. When something bad happens to a person, so a person should tell other people, shouldn't hide it. And you see that many people don't act that way. Many people, when a tragedy befalls them, so they suddenly no one knows what's happening. You know, they cut off all kinds of communication. And but that's what the Gemara is saying. Mikama kuvlanim min haTorah. Kuvlanim min haTorah means that that's not right, that a person shouldn't do that. But why do people do that? People do that for various reasons. I mean, you can't go into people's minds. Different people have different reasons. But basically, it means that whatever they got out of the social is gone now. Because what they're experiencing is a situation of defeat. And they don't want to experience the defeat, so they cut off all communications. And they don't want to face the social scene, you see. That's really what the Navi describes as not the way Klal Yisrael reacted as a social entity. It's very interesting. But the way they reacted is recognition of defeat, total defeat on the social scene. And the pain of the defeat, not, it's simply nothing. Some people, when they don't do well socially, they have an untoward situation, so then they remove themselves, they withdraw, and they turn to God. But that, while that seems like an appropriate mode of function, but you see, the Navi does not describe that mode of operation to Klal Yisrael, who is a social entity and doesn't look at all of the world as being necessarily evil either. I mean, the Navi breaks the world up into two groups, the Ovrei Derech and the enemies. Where do you see that? Where's that pasuk? The pasuk in... where was it? Beis Tesvav and Beis Tesayin. And Beis Tesvav is Sofku Alayach Kapayim Kol Ovrei Derech. So they clap their hands. Sharku Vayonir Roshan. They whistled and they shook their heads. Al Basi Rishalayim.
Okay. Which way say
it? Before that, Rosh was a good point.
Okay. So they went, wow, this is, look what happened. Look at this tragedy. But those weren't the nations that were the enemies. Those were the passers-by, the observers. The next pasuk is the enemies. Sharku vayachak hashin, as an aggressive kind of sharku. They gnashed their teeth. Amru bilanu. This is the day we were waiting for. We found it. We saw it. So they got the ultimate satisfaction. The ultimate satisfaction. So in terms of our social intercourse with our enemies, we were totally defeated. They were v'yasamach alayich oyev. But at the same time, we don't run away from that reality either. We don't close off all communication. And we don't just say, that's it. To heck with them, to heck with everybody. And we just go into our own world and they're not real. It's an interesting thing. That's really the nature of a human being is to act that way. And to just recoil and withdraw. And make believe that the outside world does not exist and ceases to exist. And to stop the communications and just to simply live in your own world. But that's not what the Navi does. Amazing. The Navi doesn't do that. The Navi doesn't respond that way. The Navi responds in a very painful way. Because the Navi faces the social defeat, and we've been totally defeated. Our enemies see the day that they were waiting for, it happened, it occurred. But, and we even talk about it. We even mention it to the other onlookers, the other observers. Lo aleichem the ovrei derech, the observers. We mention it to them. And we even mention how sad we are about that. But we don't deny it. We don't deny it. What's unique is two things. As a matter of fact, I mean, you see in Eis Gimel, where he says, Pasuk Chavtes, Yitain Ba'ofer Piu, Ula Yesh Tikva.
Here. So that
you see, Yitain, Tirgum says, Yitain Ba'ofer Pume, the Yishtatach Kodam Ribone, Ne'imis Sevar. Maybe there's some tolerance. So we don't deny the defeat. We don't deny the defeat. We recognize the defeat. Put our face in the earth. Yitin l'makei olechi. It means he gives his oppressor a cheek, a side of the face. He says, yisba b'cherpa. So it means he takes the abuse and he satiates himself with the abuse. He doesn't just run away. But he recognizes to the full extent the abuse and the defeat. That's an amazing thing for a person to do. That's something that's the worst thing, the worst horror. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? But and how do we do it? But the answer is that in Klal Yisrael, it's a unique situation, unique phenomenon, unique belief system. Unique ideas. And that is that we're the only ones that could say that we've lost, totally lost, but it's not over. It's not over. Even though we totally lost. We lost to people whose whole world is the social world. So then when things socially become intolerable, their enemies see what they always wanted, and their friends can't really help them anymore, and there's nothing to be gained from the social intercourse, so people stop communications and go into their own world. Why? Because that's the only world they have. But in Klal Yisrael, that is not the only world, because Ula Yesh Tikva, which means that there's the world of our relationship to God. So, and that is in the Navi. That's another underlying theme throughout Eicha. One underlying theme throughout Eicha is the fact that we're totally defeated. And socially, we lost everything. The enemy won. That's one underlying theme. But the other equally and even stronger underlying theme is that the relationship with the Borei Olam continues. And that's where we place all our hope, all our energies. So, but at the same time, we don't deny the unfortunate social situation as well. Because Yadus is an approach of reality. That's what's unique about it. The approach is realistic. It's not one of following one's emotions and withdrawing in the face of a painful situation. No, we face the pain and we recognize the defeat, but at the same time we recognize the great reality, the greatest reality, which is the reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not given up. Has not given up on Klal Yisrael, and that there still exists a relationship, and that's the important one. That's the important one. So that's the underlying Rei Hashem Vabito. Constantly, that theme is in every pasuk, that we talked to the Bari Olam, and we describe our state and the tragedy. So on the one hand, we're totally defeated, but on the other hand, we totally exist. We totally continue to exist. I mean, those are the two themes of the
Avecha.
I just what was going on there right before the destruction, the Nayim. It's just like hard to understand.
But I think this explanation is really found in the Targum. In the Targum. The Targum says, Omar Yemiyo Nevi'o V'Chahano Rabba. Okay, Yemiyo, the great Navi and Kohen, said, Echtein Yiskezar al Yerushalayim. How is it possible that it should be decreed on Yerushalayim and on the nation to be judged with Teiruchin is gerushin, means be thrown away. Ulemispeid ilaveon, and to have a hespeid on Klal Yisrael, which means really in Churban HaBayis. And that's another idea, that in Churban HaBayis, we don't say that because there's going to be a third Beis HaMikdash, that mitigates in any way the Churban. It doesn't. It's a total hesped, gone, complete hesped, like it's all over. On the other hand, we know that there will be a third Mikdash. But the fact that we know there will be a third Mikdash should not be brought into our avelus for the Churban Bayis Rishon and Churban Bayis Sheni. Because that would be wrong. That would be taking two elements that aren't supposed to be combined and combining them. The Churban Bayis is complete, is total. And so far as the Churban Bayis is concerned, the situation is a total tragedy of the highest proportion. On the other hand, there will be a Bayis Shlishi, that's Divrei Tanchum, that's a separate parsha. That's a separate parsha. But one doesn't mitigate the other. And the fact that there will be a Bayis Shlishi does not make the Churban Bayis Sheni any less. And that's why you're not allowed to be Osek and Divrei Tanchum on Tisha B'Av. Not allowed to. Pos can bring down. Because then you don't understand the idea of the Churban. The idea of the Churban is a total tragedy, full proportion. And the fact that the Mikdash will be rebuilt does not take away from that. You can't confuse those two elements. They're two separate ideas. Two separate ideas. But, and the Targum Unkelus, I think, brings out this point. The Targum, I think it's Targum, not Targum Unkelus, I'm sorry. The Targum on the Megillas Echa. Okay. So he says, but you see what he says. He says, well, how could it be, Lizdona b'seiruchim, to have a judgment of being thrown away, l'mispeid ilaveon, and to have a hesped. Hesped, when you have a hesped, it means the person is dead. I mean, they're gone. That's l'mispeid. So he goes on, he says like this. He says, Echo. So he equates it to the case of Adam and Chava, that they were chased out of Gan Eden, and God gave them a husband. God gave them a husband. So what is the analogy? What is the analogy? He's really explaining what we're saying. Namely, that even though there will be a Bayis Shlishi, but the tragedy is complete. Why is the tragedy complete? It's just like by Adam and Chava, he says. And what was in Adam and Chava? In Adam and Chava, they were chased out from Gan Eden. That was a permanent loss. They never were able to achieve, human beings were never able to achieve that level of existence, which was a perfect level of existence. So, and that's why God was master them. Because there's most of them, because that will never come back. It's gone forever. And then they continue to exist, it's true. But when the way they continue to exist was no comparison to the way they existed before. And they continue to exist with inner conflict, with strife, with struggle, with a whole distortion of the personality, the human personality, the way it was meant to be. And the individual is involved in endless pain and troubles in his existence. All the clawless. So all the conflicts, all the difficulties. And that's why God gave a husband, because that was the end of it. So too, in Klal Yisrael, the moment is a Churban HaBayis.
Adam and Chava, is that in Yirmiyahu?
That's the word, but it's the word.
So too, by us, the moment the Mikdash was lost, a kind of existence of Klal Yisrael was completely gone, completely lost. It's just like the same way, like Adam and Chava Kodem HaChet, they existed in a beautiful, perfect manner. So too, we existed in a beautiful and perfect manner when we had the Mikdash. And once the Mikdash was lost, all hopes for this kind of existence is gone. And the existence we have today, every day that we experience an existence without Mikdash, is a day of Hesped. It's a day of Hesped. That's what the Targum is explaining. So he says that that's what Yirmiyahu asked. How is this possible? So he says, Anas Midas Dina, the Midas Adin answered, V'chein Amoris, and said, Al Sagius Chovo Ishtadur Diva Gava, Uvegin Kain Te Yosva Vilchoda. He says, because of the Averos that were in its midst, because of that, she sits alone, Kigvar de Machtash Sagiru Al Bisre. Like a person who has machtash segiru means tzaras, divachode yosev, that he sits alone. He's isolated. So basically, that's what the Targum is explaining. That among the nations, we dwell alone, we're isolated, we can't enjoy any kind of social status. Is completely demeaned, and our existence as a nation, the way we existed before, is completely gone. Just like Adam and Chava were chased out of Gan Eden, and it's a tragedy, a full blown tragedy, constantly every day of our existence, every day of our existence, and of the existence of all of the individuals throughout the Doros that existed in the time of the Golos and that continue to exist in the time of the Golos. So you can, yeah, there will be a Bayis Shlishi, but meantime, all these years are lost in a life which is not full, which is severely lacking. And the only thing that is great, important to us about the Bayis Shlishi is the fact that the Ashkocha has not removed himself. God has not removed the Ashkocha totally from Klal Yisrael. So there still is a relationship. If there weren't a relationship anymore, we wouldn't be doing kinas. It wouldn't be a sad situation anymore. Because sad can only be when you have a relationship. Sad is a quality that exists in a relationship. If there's no relationship, there's no sad. There's just nothing. It's over. So that's the concept of Nechama that exists today. It's not real Nechama. Today is not a day for Nechama. But it is the underpinnings of the Avelos, the underpinnings of the Avelos. And the underpinning of if there were no relation, if there were no relationship, it weren't related to God, then it wouldn't, there wouldn't be any Avelos. It would be over.
Yeah.
You see. The Avelos is because there's a, it's a sad situation because there is, ultimately there will be a Bayis Shlishin. How do we view this? That means that we still are, we still have the availability of approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we have. Okay, since we have that, so then the relationship's still there, so then there's the quality of sadness. Okay. Now, what I wanted to do is go back to what we started out with, which is the identification of the trends, like the Rambam says. That's really the mitzvah. The mitzvah is liftar da'akei tshuva, means to identify certain trends. And that's really nachpesad racheinu v'nachkar v'nashuva l'Hashem. I mean, that's our obligation. And that's our only hope, and that's our and that's really the purpose of the day. Now, the limud of the day. It's interesting. What is the kriya of the day? The kriya satar of the day. The kriya satar of the day is kisol abanim of nevanim. Kisol abanim of nevanim. Okay. I'd like to go through an idea. I mean, that is the parsha of tshuva. That is the parsha of tshuva. That's the parsha of tshuva.
A bit of what it is.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
And there's what we have to understand is the. You got the chumash? I mean, we tend to look for Musar and many, many Svarim. But mainly that's because we don't often understand the Musar of the greatest Sefer and the greatest Navi, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, his Musar. And therefore, we have to satisfy ourselves with other svarim. But the truth of the matter is that the biggest musar is Sefer Devarim. That is the biggest musar of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's an idea I think that we can unravel over here, which I think is an important one. And that has to do with what the Rambam is talking about, and what the Pesukim are talking about. V'kashtem Yishom Asad Hashem Alakecha Umatzasa. The Pasuk says, Ki Sidrishenu B'chol Levavacha V'chol Nafshecha. Kashtem Yishom Asad Hashem Alakecha Umatzasa. Ki Sidrishenu B'chol Levavacha V'chol Nafshecha. Yeah. There's one more Ramban I'll take though before, and perhaps this will we'll be able to answer the question on this Ramban. Very unusual Ramban. You got the Bamidbar? Chumash Bamidbar there. Ramban says on a pasuk in he wants to explain a pasuk in Shmuel Beis. Here, where's the pasuk in there? Pasuk in Shmuel Beis about the. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. Pasuk in Shmuel Pesach Mubez, it says, Perichot Alva, Yosef Afar Hashem Lacharos B'Yisrael. So, Vayosef is David Ben Lemo Lech Meneas Yisrael. When you had that tragedy with David Melch, when he counted. So, it says, so the Pesach says, Vayosef Afar Hashem Lacharos B'Yisrael. So, Rashi says, Lo Yadati Alma. I don't know why. He never doesn't explain what the, what Avera Kol Yisrael did. Okay. So there's an interesting, very interesting Ramban in Parshas Korach that says, he quotes Rashi, and he says like this. He says, Akosav Shem Rashi Lo Yadati Alma. And Ramban says, V'ani Omer B'derech Svar. He says, Shoya Ona Shal Yisrael. There was a big onish for the Jews, Kol Yisrael, Be'es Acher Binyan Be'es Abchira. Because they delayed for so long the binyan of the Mikdash. Shehoya Aaron Holech Me'ohel El Ohel. Kiger Ba'aretz. It's going from one tent to another, like a traveler. Ve'ina Shvatim Misorim Lamar. Nidro Shesar Hashem V'nivna Ha'bayis L'shmo. Kinyin Shenema L'shichno Sidrishu U'vasa Shoma. Ad shenisora David ledavar miyomim rabim uzman aruch. Says till David HaMelech thought about it after many days and a long time, he thought about it to build a base of Mikdash. As the Navi says, yeah, what do you have it? Okay, sure. The Navi says, Vayiki Yashar HaMelech and Shmuel Bei Zion. So Nassim thought it was a good idea, and he thought that Hashem is with him, but it turned out he was wrong, and he wasn't going to build the Mikdash, as we know. But the Ramban says that was after a long time. Ki Yashar Melech Beveso. And he said, how is it Pinei Anochi Yashar Beveso Rosanim? I'm living in a beautiful home. Aron Elokim Yashar Besoch Ha'iria. But it was a long time before David HaMelech himself was Nesora on this. And he says, Vinei David Mino Hashem Yisbarach. God prevented him from building him Nesha Omar. Ki Domim Rabim Shafach Da'orza Lafonai. Then a Sachar Oda Binyan, because of that it was delayed more. Ad Meloch Shlomo. The Ilu Hoyu Yisrael Chafetzim B'davar, if the Jews were desirous of this thing, then a Sarul Bo Metchilo, Hoyu Nasa B'mei Echad Me'a Shoftim. The Mikdash would have been made a long time before. O B'mei Shol. O Gam B'mei David. Yim Shevet Yisrael, Hoyu Mesorim B'davar, Lo Hoyu Hu Abona. Avo Yisrael Him Hoyu Abona. So you wouldn't have Gzera against David, because the Gzera against David was because it was him. It was his idea. But if it was Klal Yisrael's idea, so the fact that David was a man of war wouldn't have it taken away. And the Mikdash would have been built. Aval kasher ha'om lo ishgichu v'David hu ha'mashgiach v'mesorer. Who am Maven Akol, and he's the one that understood everything. Who are Yabona? Who is Mishpat to Machs of Gemidas Adin? And he was a man of justice, Gemidas Adin. Velo Huchsha Beveis Harachamim. And he wasn't the right material for the Beis Harachamim. Balkein Nisachar Binyan Kol Yemei David, the Pshias Yisrael. So and that's why the Binyan was delayed all the days of David, because Klal Yisrael Poshim. That's why this anger was on them. Amazing Ramban. Says, "Makom asher yivchar Hashem l'sum shemo shom, no da ba'ancham over my gefosom." That was the place with later, and it mentions that it was tied to their onish. Barkosav yumo is kol masher nemar ki lo yashavti bebayis l'miyom asher halesi es yisrael me'eretz mitzrayim adayom azeh. So the Pasuk alludes to this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to the Navi was, what's the Lashon over there? The Lashon is, Ramban says, if you have a sensitivity to the semantics of the Nevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lech v'mata alav d'yel David, kol ma'ar Hashem, atotiv ne livayas l'shifti, ki lo yashavti b'vayas, l'miyom alosias b'nei yisomi mitzrayim v'yad hayom hazeh, v'ayem ishalech ba'ol of a mishkan. So Ramban says that's a very subtle complaint. Subtle complaint. See? Subtle complaint. V'ayem ishalech ba'ol of a mishkan. You see? So... And HaKadosh Baruch Hu never, it's interesting. It says, B'chol Asher Salachti B'chol B'nei Yisrael Adova Dibarti Esachat Shifte Yisrael Asher Tzivisi L'Am Yis Yisrael Lema Lama Lo V'nisim L'Beis HaRazim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did I ever ask anybody? V'ata, and then the Navi goes on and commends David. But it'll become reality through his son. But Ramban says, but there's a complaint there. There was a complaint. Ki lo yashavti b'vayas l'miyom alosi yisnei samim yisayim v'adheni v'adheyom hazeh v'ayem eshalach b'ol v'neshkan. It wasn't right. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had never demanded it, but it wasn't right. Interesting psukim. So Ramban says that was bad. He says, he quotes Pesukim. Yep, sorry. Hare Yashim Akosav, ki Ashkina Mesalachas Bechol Yisrael, me O Alalo, me Mishkan al Mishkan. Velo Yo Echod Bechol Shofti Yisrael, a Roma, some Nisar Bedava. Amazing thing. Amazing thing. Including Shmuel. V'omar Kosavod, ki Gam Hashem Richak Mehem. The lo dibel echo nikulam livnos habayis. You see, he never demanded funny thing. So why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu demand it? Rak ato shenis oro hatovos ki hoyo im levovcha. Vatzava ato livnos al yad shlomo bincha shehiya ishalom. Interesting Ramban. But the question is, how is that possible really? I'm talking about the greatest people. And the greatest people were all flawed. I mean, they all committed this terrible thing. I mean, how's it possible? I mean, it seems like a simple thing. I mean, the question is, of course, we can't. We often have this problem when we try to understand great people. So we understand great people because we're not in their frame of reference. But yet, you see, the Torah does teach us about great people and their greatness and their weaknesses also. So apparently, there is some way that we can and should be able to approach it, although not entirely. And that's what this Ramban really demands. As we go on, maybe we'll come back. Hopefully, we'll be able to give a frame of reference to the what the Ramban is saying. This is an amazing Ramban, huh?
This is difficult
to say. I didn't say where it's at. Where's Ramban? Okay.
Thanks about the Ramban.
Then. Yeah, the Ramban is in Korach. It's in the Ramban is on the pasuk. It's in Bamidbar Tezayin pasuk. Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph.
Built the Shedwan and built the temple.
Right. It was a tie-in on everyone.
Okay.
Right. I understand how all these great people pass it up.
Unbelievable. Really, original thinker. Yeah. Medrash. Interesting Medrash in Eicha. And the Medrash. Find the Medrash. You got a Medrash? Oh, really? No, I don't know if he has the, I need a medrash. Hold on a second. The medrash in Echa. Okay. And I think it has to do in a big way with our obligation to investigate the, like the Rambam says, the trends that exist and that we have to do tshuva for. We've talked about tshuva. But the Medrash says like this, interesting Medrash. The Medrash says that on the Pasuk Yodo Parasar, on the Psichta de Echara Basi, that Yodo Parasar, I don't know how to tell you which piece it is, so I'll have to define this thing. It's on Psichta de Echara Basi Zion. Okay? I'm sorry, Tess, I'm sorry. Psichta de Echara Basi Tess. So it says like this. It says, Yodo Parasar Kol Machamadel. That the enemy spread his hands out over all its beautiful things. Kirosu Goyim Bo Migdasha. That Goyim came into the Migdasha, Shetzi Visa. That the Torah commanded Le'yavo Bakalach. That these people aren't right to come into the call. And they had the upper hand, and they came into the Mikdash. So it says, Nichnasu Leveis Kotche Akadashim. So the enemy came into Beis Kotche Akadashim. Umatsu Shom Shnei Kruvim. So they found the Kruvim. Natlu Osan, they took them. Then Nasnu Osan Bekliva. They put them in a invisible display, in a box. And they took them all around the streets of Yerushalayim, and they said, Lo hayisim omrim she'ein omazos ovedes avodah zarah? Didn't you say that this nation doesn't serve idols? Ruv ma'matzim alayim, look what we found by them. Omaha yovdim, and what they were serving. In other words, Hokol Afyan Shavin. So what do they say? Everybody's the same. Everybody. All the faces are the same. There is no difference. Hodo Yachsiv, Yan Am Emar Moa Vaseir, Hine Kacholai Goyim Beis Yehuda. That because Amun Moa say that the Jews are just like every other nation, that's a reference to this event, the matter says. Ba'osa shoa nishba HaKadosh Baruch Hu shu mekakeya beit sason min olam, that he will destroy Amon Amav. But kivon shechotu, nevertheless, because Klai Yisrael was chotum, golu. The kivon shegolu, hischu yimiyo makone aleyam echa. That's the matter. So what is the Medrash saying? I mean, the Rambam says that you have to identify a trend. This is a trend. The trend is Kechol HaGoyim Beis Yehuda. That is a terrible trend. And, of course, the question is, why couldn't Klal Yisrael answer them? Why couldn't they say, the Kruvim are not Avodah Zarah? We don't worship the Kruvim. Matter of fact, the Rambam says that the Kruvim are the thing that is motzi from Avodah Zarah, because the Kruvim reflect the idea of Malachim. And Malachim means that everything is only under the jurisdiction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a Malach is, he does Malacha. Means he has no self-initiation. So it's just the opposite idea. The idea of a Malach is really the opposite. So why couldn't they say you're making a mistake? We don't serve these Kruvim. I mean, these Kruvim are not of Avodah Zarah. They're not, like the Rambam says, why were the Kruvim too? Precisely to show that this can't represent God. So because so he goes, you only need one really to represent the idea of a malach, but it was made two. You know, it shows it's on the contrary that this is motzi midei avodah zarah. That the kruvim is the Rambam says the second most important idea. That's motzi midei avodah zarah. Is first is God's existence and his oneness, and this is second because it means that everything that we see that takes place in the universe and on this earth is all a result of God's will, and through special agencies that he created, and everything is under his total jurisdiction. That's Yichud Hashem, and that's, of course, Avodah Zarah. So why couldn't the people say that? Why couldn't they explain it? The answer is very simple. The answer is because they didn't act in a way that the explanation would be accepted, you see. Because the way they lived was no different, really. Hello? The way they lived was no different. So the explanation would never be accepted. See, when you live like an Am Chacham V'Navon, and you're Miskarev El Olakim in the true way, in the way of Chachma, and your whole way of life is different, so then somebody says, there's a question, say, well, what do you have over here? Say, well, that's not a Avodah Zarah. On the contrary, I mean, that's the whole thing of Avodah Zarah. Then the answer is a good answer, because it's based upon the fact that your nihug manifests that the answer is correct. But if your nihug is kederach of Ovdei Avodah Zarah, if your nihug is superstition and nonsense and the same stupidities that the other nations have, then when they pull out the kruvim, you have no answer. There is no answer, because an answer falls on deaf ears, because there's no gavra to substantiate the answer. To substantiate the answer, you need a gavra. Okay. This is an argument ad hominem. Okay. It's an argument against the person.
The answer
to
the, oh, no, this was okay. Well,
you
know that everything else...
That's what it is. Kol afshin shavin. Everything's the same. Pasuk says expressed it beautifully. Yan oma mor v'seyer, hine kechol agoyim beis Yehudah. And that, I mean, no doubt, is part of the tragedy today that we have. That we see that it's a nation that we don't have a Gedol Yisrael like we had. We don't have anymore. And there's no one to stem the tide and to really stop things that are happening that are very tragic, and philosophies and ideas that are really nothing more than an imitation of the Gaia. Nothing more. So recently somebody said that a person should do chesed. Why? Because it makes a person feel good. I mean, that's really what the Gaia say. That's, it's better to give than to receive. It means that you get a personal satisfaction out of doing kindness. That's the opposite of chesed. That's doing it for yourself. And that's a nonsense, totally nonsensical idea. But now already you see that these ideas, we became, unfortunately, and that's just one instance, but many people perhaps don't know too much about the philosophies of the Gaon, and therefore they don't recognize it. But if you have some kind of a knowledge of it, then you see immediately that what people are doing is nothing more than imitating exactly what their religion is in many, many ways. And they're unaware of it. And that's really one of the things that we have to do tshuva about, and we have to eradicate it insofar as we can. I mean, that Amar Mor V'Seyer Hinei K'chol HaGoyim Beis Yehudah. I mean, that's the statement. But that's a smaller a smaller point. What I'd like to get to is a more of a major point. And the way I'll get to it is through the Rambam and the Moreh Nevuchim. Rambam in just give me a second here, in the third book on the Divine Commandments. So it's an interesting Rambam. I'm not going to go through the whole paragraph. Rambam goes through the reasons for the mitzvahs, the tamei mitzvahs, And, is that a Bereshis over there? Okay. The, no, it's okay. Okay, and the Tamei Mitzvahs. And that became, by the way, that I could tell you right now, that the attitude towards Tamei Mitzvahs that prevails in many, among many of our people is really the same idea as Umos Olam, that Tamei HaMitzvos, Ramban for instance, Ramban, you know the Chumashma? The Ramban, there's no Ramban there. The Ramban in the, you see the Chumash on the, right on the side, the Mikros Gedolos on the left side, Mikros Gedolos. Okay. The Mikros Gedolos on Pasuk Eikasher Eikiv Asher Hashem Avram Bakoli. Ayishma Mishmarti Mitzvosa Chukosa Vesarosa. So the Ramban says, he talks about the question of whether Avram Avinu had the mitzvahs or not, but he says what Chazal says. V'nir Eli didash Abaseinu shelaman Avram Avinu atara kula baruch hakadosh v'osak ba ubetamei mitzvoseho v'sodoseho v'shama osak kula. Okay? Because without the tamei mitzvahs, then the mitzvahs just have no meaning. Like the Rambam says, and it's then you're just saying that that God did something that's meaningless and doesn't benefit us. So the Ramban straight through. Ramban, for instance, the end of Bo, where he says, "Now I'll tell you a tam that's a tam for many, many mitzvahs, and Yitzias Mitzrayim and Tillin and all these things." Famous Ramban. But the most people look at the part that they misunderstand that Ramban. The beginning of the Ramban, where it talks about the Tam, he says, the Tam is Yedias Hashem, Yichud Hashem, and that's the Tam of many, many, many mitzvahs. A person denies Tam on mitzvahs, he's going to deny that. What would he say there? Deny the essence of everything. It's totally nonsensical. But the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim explains that you have to be careful because you have to know how to search for Tamei HaMitzvos, and not everyone is in a position to do that. And there's a system and a science to it, and you have to know how to do it. So the Rambam, basically in chapter 26, what he speaks about is the fact that there's a Tam for every mitzvah in general, but you don't look for reasons and specifics, okay? And he says like this. He says,
sure.
He says, he first gives an example from Shechita, and he says that why the specifics he can't give reason. I'm not going to go into this, but specifics he can't give reason for. He says like this. But he makes the statement. He says, those who trouble themselves to find a cause for any of these detailed rules, he says, are in my eyes void of sense. They do not remove any difficulties, but rather increase them. He says, those who believe that these detailed rules originate in a certain cause are as far from the truth as those who assume that the whole law is useless. Interesting, Rama. Rama says that a person who thinks, who looks for tamei mitzvos in every detail of the law, every detail of the law, he says, is really as far away from the truth as a person who thinks there's no reason for the law, which the Rambam holds the person is completely away from the truth. Okay? So the question is, what is the common denominator between that? I mean, we have to take the words of the Rambam, all the words of the Rambam very seriously. I mean, he's explaining something here. Why is that equal? Why is there an equation between the two? That a person would seem on the opposite. The opposite is true. That the person looking for this is overdoing it. He's overdoing it, and he shouldn't be looking for a reason for every detail. But not that he's denying tamei mitzvos. On the contrary, but the Rambam says he's equal to the person who denies tamei mitzvos altogether. Then the Rambam goes on. It's interesting, and the Rambam at the end of the same chapter, it almost sounds like he contradicts himself, because he says like this. He says, I will explain the reason of each class of mitzvahs and show its undoubted and undisputed object. And then I shall discuss each commandment in the class and expound this reason. Only very few will be left unexplained, the reasons for which I have been unable to trace unto this day. I have also been able to comprehend in some cases even the object of many of the conditions and details as far as these can be discovered. So here the Rambam seems to contradict himself. And he says that there is a reason for the details. So, I mean, that's something that deserves a little consideration. But there's another Rambam where the Rambam says like this. Rambam chapter 31. He says as follows. He says, there are persons who find it difficult to give a reason for any of the commandments and consider it right to assume that the commandments and prohibitions have no rational basis whatsoever. They are led to adopt this. Listen to what Rambam says. They are led to adopt this theory by a certain disease in their soul, the existence of which they perceive, but which they are unable to discuss or to describe. Interesting, Rambam. But he goes on to say, for they imagine that these precepts, if they were useful in any respect, and were commanded because of their usefulness, would seem to originate in the thought and reason of some intelligent being. But as things which are not objects of reason and serve no purpose, they would undoubtedly be attributed to God, because no thought of man could have produced them. According to the theory of those weak-minded persons, man is more perfect than his creator. For what man says or does has a certain object, whilst the actions of God are different. He commands us to do what is of no use to us, and forbids us to do what is harmless. Far be this. Okay. Yeah. But the Rambam is very interesting. The interesting Rambam is, he says, this is caused by a disease in the soul, which these people have, but they're unable to discuss or to describe. In Hebrew, it's pretty much the same. I mean, what is that disease? I mean, what is that disease? I think it's important to know what the disease is and why they can't really discuss it or describe it. Funny kind of disease. Yeah. But, see, the Rambam doesn't go into that exactly. But he goes in to show you what the disease is.
Hello?
Yes. He He goes in to show you what the disease is. But the disease is clear. What is it? It is a belief in the idea that there is something far greater than reason. That's the disease. You see? And reason has a place, but there is something, in fact, which is far greater, and a far greater mode of operation and function than reason. And that mode makes reason pale, you see. That idea is a disease. Now, the Rambam says, they can't, it's very amazing how the Rambam has that sensitivity. He says, they can't discuss it or describe it. And the reason is very simple. Because it is not something that they came to through reason, but it's something which precedes reason. Because it comes from a very infantile part of the mind that came before reason was established in man. It was like Chazal say, that Ki Yetzel Lev Adam Ra Menurah, the Yetzel Tov arrives at Ben Yigimel, Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah. Why? Because that's when reason gains a footing. But before that time, it's only the Yetzer, only instinctual, primitive kind of forces that rule the soul of man. So the disease, that's what the Rambam exactly means. That it's something which is an illness, but they cannot describe it, and they cannot explain it, or discuss it, or even discuss it. Because it's kind of like a preposition. It's a pre-notion. It's a notion. It's an assumed notion that predates all reason. And the disease of the soul is that the individual has never outgrown that thing. And that remains the force which determines all of his actions. See? Now, that really explains what the Rambam meant before. When the Rambam says that the people who believe that they have to find a reason for every detail are just in the same position as the people who deny Tamei HaMitzvos. What the Rambam means is that these people are proponents of a higher reality, perception of reality, namely a mystical kind of perception. So that is why they demand of the Torah that every single detail will have another reason. Because rationality is not enough for them. You see. The Rambam gives an example. The Rambam says that, he says, for instance, if you say, why one carbon is a lamb, another one is a ram, or why a fixed number should be brought. So the Rambam says, they would not be happy with saying it has to be seven because there has to be some kind of a system. And there has to be, the law has to have a tzura, has to have a form. That is enough for the reason, you see. But they're not satisfied with that because they want to see in every detail some new thing, like every single, that is the mystical reasoning is what causes the person to search for such things. That's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam spied out the cause. He knew the people of whom he was speaking, that these people will not be satisfied unless every single thing has some kind of a reason. It has to be something. It can't be because it just has to be that way. And that explains why the Rambam doesn't contradict himself in the end. Because the Rambam says, I have also been able to comprehend in some cases even the object of many of the conditions and details as far as these can be discovered. What he means is that that there are times when the general idea works its way and permeates certain details, you see? But that's not because he has a need to find a reason in every detail. Not every detail should be something that's the cause of another reason. You see, as if in this way, he is bringing greater glory to the Torah. See, that stems from the mystical part of man, the same disease. That's what the Rambam's isolating. Interesting Rambam, huh? Yeah. So, what I want to get to is this. Okay. That there is a state. There is a state of existence which is not too far removed from that, even though it's within reason. And that is that today you have an idea. And we were, Klal Yisrael, I mean, every Tisha B'Av is worse. Because, as I said, I mean, we really are, Klal Yisrael is in a very, very sad state. And it has even reached a point where people are shaking the Yesod HaDas. Right before our eyes, and writing books that are, I mean, really destroying the very fabric of Klal Yisrael, and people don't know too much about these things, so they're duped into believing a lot of the writings, but. Which the authors themselves don't understand what they're writing and have no business involving themselves in this type of material because they are ignoramuses and don't understand the way of the Chacham. But there's one thing that I want to mention, and that is that Yesod HaDas is not a question like a question in Halacha. Where you can have different opinions. You have Machlokes Rishonim, they say, this Rishon says that, go like Ramban, I can go like Ramban, perhaps other Rishonim, Bali Taisis, and there's room for Machlokes. But, and Elu Vela Divilakim Chayim, it's all Torah. Even though there's one Klapishmaya Galia, there's one truth. But for man, as long as he uses the investigative process correctly and properly, and his ideas are sound, and he's reached a level where he's royal or raw, so then the ideas are all valid. And when it comes to Psak Halacha, so you can follow, and depending on the situation, different positions. But in the Yesod HaDas, we're dealing with a different kind of a situation, and that's not true. See? Interesting is, have you got that Raj Butter's papers over there? On Kriya Shema. I think I mentioned it before. But it's really a significant tshuva. And somebody asked the Raj Butter, just basically, what is the right kavana in Krishna? An interesting answer. He gives an answer you wouldn't expect. But he says like this. He says, "Ubeemes yesh l'chol bal das l'das." He says it's a pashim yechedes, and it's romezes sodos v'ikarim gedolim, shein yesodos kol habinyan asher beis Yisrael nachon aleihem. Vamlam, he says, "Yesh nirushus l'zboni l'pratei advarim." So I'll give you like the plain things. And he says like this. He says that kulanu chayav nikra sapasha lola kavanas kriya, not just kavanas kriya, Kikorim achas mi parsha shibatora lotzi dechovas akriya. Rak lechavein da'atenu ledas shehu echad yisala. Veshehu alakeno. And he goes on. Veshanu mechayov nimso nafshenu. Veshanu mechayov nimso nafshenu. Veshanu mechayov. He said, and he goes on, I mean, I'm not going to go through it all too here. But he says, he mentions, Veshenekabel olenu ze lo, he says, yes.
Where is that tshuva?
The tshuva is in Chelek Hei Simen Nun Hei.
Thank you.
Now he says like this. He says you have to, the conclusion has to be not from Akimas Vasayim Levad, he says, that we should just be Makabalit. He says it must be something that we know, that is known to us. And he mentions that again later. He says, that term is an interesting term. You look up the it's in the Yeshayahu. Have you got Yeshayahu Navi here? It's Pasuk Gimel. Okay. Pasuk says, "Vayomar Hashem." Yan ki niga sha'om hazeh b'siv u'v'sfasov kibduni, v'libo richak mimeni, v'atehi yirosom osi mitzvas anashim melamada. What does it mean, mitzvas anashim melamada? So Tirgum says, v'havos dachaltahon kodamai, the affair before me is kisafkidas gavrin malfin, like the instruction of individuals who teach. So what's wrong with that? So isn't that good? I mean, that person's Yerushalayim. Sorry, the person's Yerushalayim is based upon his teachings, his Rebbe, his Rebbeim. Kisaf kidas gavrin malfin. So what is wrong with that? And apparently it's very bad because the pasuk l'chein in Yosef la'afli asam azeh afli v'afela. Vovdo chokmas chachomov avinas nevonov testata. Okay? So apparently it's not a good thing. That's what the Rashba means over here. The Rashba says, she'ein emu noso v'yichudo mitzvas anoshim milumodo she'halimut shelindu v'yigilu olov yivieo. That it's the learning and the teaching that brings him to this conclusion. Laham and Kacha, to believe that way. Even if it's the best Rebbeim. You see? Shelohuna chalchakiras daito v'chalohuna chalchakiras daito. It's not based on his own thinking. V'chachmasa yichuyev bepach. And his intelligence would tell him on the contrary. Kashe yikro l'rov ha'munos. Like it's true among the other belief systems. In other words, the nations of the world. Okay? And he goes on, and he explains where is this from? He quotes the pasuk in today's kriya. The yadata yom vashivoso el lavavecha kira Hashem olakim vashamayim nimal valoritz mitachas ein od. He says the yadata yom kol halimud vashmiya vashivoso el lavavecha is ala chakira kira Hashem olakim kol halamuna vakabala. Shechakira mevi ladas she'eno zuloso odon b'shamayim imava le'alaretz mitochas eino. Okay, it's the Sfuna. The Sfuna says the same thing. Sfuna basically says the same shot. That a person data yom l'shevoso l'vavecha. So yeah. So the Sfuna says. That acharas bonus the mehem. Okay. So apparently the mitzvah, and that's means that the person is searching for primary knowledge. True Yediyas Hashem. True Yediyas Hashem. See, David HaMelech told Shlomo HaMelech, and it says in the Divrei Yomim, he said that before he passed away, so he said to him, he says, Da'as Elokei Avicha V'Avdeo. Da'as Elokei Avicha V'Avdeo. What does it mean? What do you know Elokei Avicha? So first it's Elokei Avicha, because he receives it through Masorah. But Da means he must know it. It means like this. It would mean like a mashal, like if somebody would tell you about another person, let's say, a mashal. So they tell you about this person. So you would know that person through this individual. The individual will always be the conduit, the means through which you know that other person. But if you met that person yourself, then you would drop what you had before. And it would be primary knowledge. So the mitzvah, that's what the Rashba is saying. That the mitzvah in Kriya Shema, ultimately the mitzvah is, you cannot be Mekayim the mitzvah through anybody else. It must be primary knowledge. That's what the Rashba is saying, the whole Rashba. And that's why he says that you must be most, you must be, the whole appeal is that the Kavanah must be to Aleph Avecha. Because the mitzvah is that the person should make up in his mind that he would be Mosa Nefesh, if necessary, be Mosa Nafsho. He says, because otherwise you're just saying a lie. But why are you saying a lie? Why can you say that that's the ideal? That's what the ideal is. I'm not ready for that. But the real mitzvah of Kriya Shema, according to the Rashba, what the Rashba is saying in the Tshuva is, it's on a primary level. It's not on a secondary. It's not on an authoritative level. It's, you cannot say, this is the right thing to do. Yes, but I know that through the Masorah. But I don't personally know it to be true. You see? That won't do. So the demand when it comes to Yediyas Hashem, it's Da Eselakei Avicha. That you must know the idea yourself. So over here, the individual has to have the correct idea of God. And you cannot say that there are people that said this idea, that idea, that's absolute nonsense. Because this idea must be known primarily by you, this idea. And there can only be one idea, as you know, as the Rambam and anybody of intelligence knows, so there can only be one idea. So therefore, the Yesodei Hadas are not a matter of authoritative sources. You say, well, this authority argues over here and says it's this. That authority says it's that. That won't do in this area. You see, over here, the question is, what is your idea, and your idea must be the correct one. That is the big mistake that people have who think that you could find someone, it doesn't matter who it is, you could find someone and you say that this is a proper idea. That will not save the individual, you say. That won't save the individual, because the bottom line is, the Adata Yom HaShavosa L'Vachak HaShem HaLakim means you must have that idea. You must have the correct idea. And if your idea is wrong, then you're out. There's nothing you can say, well, I read in the Sefer that this person had this. It doesn't matter. It's not the mitzvah. It's not primary knowledge. And that's exactly what the Tshuva of Rashba is in Hilchas Kriya Shema, that it must be primary. Now, I'll tell you why people made that mistake. And that has to do with a trend. Rambam says the mitzvah identify trends. Trends that lead us away and cause us to suffer from the gulfs. The trend is a simple one. The trend is because people today in our society are fair-minded. And what does fair-minded mean? Fair-minded means that you can't be authoritative and say that this person, because they have the wrong idea, is condemned. It's just not fair. Because the individual tried very hard, at least seemingly to us, and why should this person be denied Olam Haba and Gan Eden? They tried. Of course, writers, when you read writers who express this argument, they usually fall short of including Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They won't say, well, why shouldn't this Ovdei Avodah Zarah go to Gan Eden? Also, he meant well, too. And why should we say that Ovdei Avodah Zarah really are not well-meaning people? I mean, a person that's from a strange country and worships a tree in Central Park, does it mean he's not a nice person? I mean, the tree represents nature, which represents a force, could even ultimately represent Borei Olam. What is so bad about this person? He worships a tree. I mean, what is so terrible, you say? And why should we condemn such a person? And that's basically the thinking that's behind this whole approach, that there cannot be, and that's why they are against the idea of being Ikarim and Yesodi Adas, because Ikarim are exclusive, and who are we to condemn people? Why don't we just say, let everybody believe what they want, and as long as they're well-meaning, and the only, who are we going to exclude? We'll exclude people that are not well-meaning. What kind of people are those? Those are people that are evil and mean. And apparently, these people think that the people actually represent themselves as that way. Say, I am a mean, evil person, and I intentionally want to believe this evil thought. I don't think there's anybody in the world like that. I think that everybody, no matter how evil they are, will always invoke some kind of a higher ideal. And even Hitler, Yimach Shemo. And then the question is, so how do we differentiate? Say, well, now we're going to say everyone claims that they're motivated by some good, by some ideal. So how are we going to differentiate between people who are not doing that? And if you'll say, well, it's not our job to differentiate, but I would ask you, how could the individual himself differentiate? And many times, people are fooled themselves. I mean, you'll seldom see a person that will say, there are cases, but on the whole, when it comes to major ideals, that will say, I'm definitely doing this because I want to be evil. No such phenomenon. So what are we talking about? But the reason that these people believe that way is because their world revolves around an inner struggle. You see, the inner struggle of two instinctual forces, which is the force of conscience and the force of the instincts, the other instincts. Okay, aggressive instincts, sexual instincts, and the force of conscience. To them, that is the whole reality of human existence. And therefore, they base everything against that backdrop, and they consider the good the one that conscience overcomes, and the evil the opposite way. And to them, this simplistic psychology is really the whole of mankind. So therefore, they don't look into it too deeply, so they don't realize that that's also a very difficult thing to know when a person's being guided by which, but that is their world of operation, okay? But, of course, you ask me, okay, so let's say that's a simplistic, naive world, childish world. And to say that that's the only world, and certainly Yadus does not hold the way. That with both Yetzer and Yetzer Tov. So there is no one there is no one Yetzer that can give a person a direction. But the only thing that gives a person direction is his Chochmah. But what is really the answer to their question? Then how could we condemn a person that, that has the wrong belief system? I mean, is there any answer that we have? Or do we say, the Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim does not really bother to answer it. What the Rambam says is, Rambam does mention the question. But he says you can't say if a person has a wrong idea that it's not his fault, because then the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, it's not their fault either. But he leaves it at that. But he doesn't go any further into it. Many things the Rambam says he gives in his introduction, he says he's not going to go through every single minor point. But there is an extension to it. And the answer is that Yahadus does recognize something in man. And that is what the Navi mentions in Yeshayahu. Where is the Yeshayahu? He talks about one of the most perfect people, Melech HaMashiach. So the Navi says, V'nocholov Ruach HaRashem, Ruach, it's in Perek Yid Aleph Pasuk Beis. V'nocholov Ruach HaRashem, what is that? Ruach Kochmo Vino, Ruach Eitzel Gvura, Ruach Das V'yiras HaRashem. Radak says, Das V'yiras HaRashem goes together. So you see, there is such a thing as a Ruach Kochmo. That's what you see from the Navi. That there is a concept of a Ruach Chochma, which is a certain spirit in man which is prone to Chochma. There is such a phenomenon. As a matter of fact, David Melech says in Tehillim Perek and Aleph, V'ruach nochon chadesh bekirbi. So, Ruach nochon chadesh bekirbi, that's the tefillah for that Ruach. That a person should be open to the MS. And Ramban says in Dvarim on the pasuk of Malta Mesolos of Avchan, that it means that the lev should be pasuach for chachma. So you see, there is such an attitude of the soul of man, an attitude that's open, a ruach chachma. So wherein lies the culpability? There is culpability. But the culpability does not lie in, as these people think, in being mean and not being mean, which is a childish, infantile idea. No one thinks they're mean. It's not in that area. It's in the area of not listening to the Ruach Chachma. That's where the culpability of man lies. Because in Yadus, the evil is ignorance. And Das is Tov. And Ra is Chaser Das. Ra is Mois, Moaseach, like the Navi says. So there is culpability. But the culpability revolves around a different entity. And what is that entity? That entity is the appeal of the soul for Chachma. There is an appeal of the soul for Chachma in there. And you see it in the world of science. I mean, you see that the ancients, you read about the ancients, how they studied, once they had trigonometry, they studied the heavens, and they were concerned and interested in the mahalach of the kochovim, the planets and all the astronomical phenomena. They had an interest in it, to discover the size of the planet, the distance, its motion. There is in man a desire to uncover chachma, and that's an attitude of the soul. And that desire exists insofar as uncovering the truth with regard to a person's derech hachayim, which is of primary significance. That same attitude exists there. The Ruach Chochma Ovina. So the mistake these people are making is that they misunderstand the depth of Yahadus, and they don't understand that Yahadus demands one thing. It demands a person's mind be open to reality. And if it's closed in any way, therein lies the culpability. And if a person is away from the truth, it does not help them if they have excuses. Because the benefit of the good is only the good itself, is the reality itself. That's really the Das Emes. And the same thing, and that's why the Yesodei Hadas can only be one. Because they're contingent on the person's knowledge himself, his own knowledge. So in his knowledge, it's not a secondary. It's not a secondary situation. That's what the pasuk says. Yidatei Moshevosu Lavecha, Likashta Mishamas Adashem Lakecha Matzasa. It means to find the Rabbanu Shlomo means himself. Kisid Rishenu B'chol Avavcha B'chol Nafshecha. It means that you want to have this knowledge yourself. You have a desire for that knowledge. You have a desire for that knowledge, so then you'll succeed in that knowledge. That's basically the Rashba insofar as Kriyashma is concerned. If you read through the Tshuva of the Rashba, there's one fundamental idea, and that fundamental idea is that the whole of Kriyashma, the whole mitzvah of Kriyashma, is primary knowledge.
Call back in 20 minutes,
Rob. That, excuse me?
What
do you say? That idea pervades the whole tshuva. That concept. It has to be primary knowledge. So people who don't understand the fundamental, when the Rambam wrote the Yesodei Hadas, what the Rambam merely did was simply disclose the correct ideas. That's what the Rambam did. But the idea of Yesodei Hadas is clear in the Torah itself. The Adata Yom, Shavuos Olav Avecha. So it means that a person must have the correct idea of the Bar Yom. And that's Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It means you must have that knowledge. You. If it's not your knowledge, like the Rashba says, if it's not from Chakira, but it's just on reliance, then you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. And that's not Kriyashma. So the... I'm not going to go. I know this presents problems. I know there are many questions that this brings into play. And I don't say that they shouldn't be dealt with. But what I do say is that you can't deny this yisod. Whatever you're going to do, you can't deny the yisod, because that's Kabbalah Torah Kula. I mean, and it's Pesukim in the Torah. And that's the whole idea behind the concept of the Ikarim. Ikarim are implicit. There's no way around it. You can't just say, and to try to find machlokasin and things like that does not avail one, does not help one, because a person cannot say, well, whatever the truth is, but whatever the truth may be, I see this big machlokasin, I don't know. If he doesn't know, then it's not the Adata Yom HaShavosu V'Vachon, it's not Shema Yisrael HaShem L'Kin HaShem Achad. He has to know it. It has to be primary. That's the yisod. Again, I said there are many questions. I know there are many questions, and I emphasize the fact that there are many questions, and the questions have to be answered. But at the same time, the yisod cannot be denied. It's not a way to answer questions to deny a yisod or to mitigate a yisod. That's clear in the psukim. It's clear in the in our chachmei masora, and it's clear to any intelligent person that the chachma demands that the Adata Yom HaShavosu Lavecha means the person must himself have an idea of God. I mean, if he doesn't have that idea, then what is it worth? So this is really part of the psichta. This is part of the psichta. That when they brought out the Kruvim, why? Because if Klal Yisrael was the Ummah that reflected Yichud Hashem through Chachma, it would be empty to bring out the Kruvim. Because we'd say in a minute what it is. But when Klal Yisrael does not reach that level, and they look like every other nation, like fools, because they don't have any ideas, and they don't have anything to say about Yichud Hashem that's worthy of any intelligence, that's considered intelligent, so then we are lost. I mean, then all the criticism of the Umos Olam and all the criticism of the Umos Olam are correct. We don't have any answer for them. Yep. That is certainly a trend. That's a big trend. And the trend is, as I said, the trend is a trend of our society. It's a trend of fairness on an infantile and superficial level, and not a recognition of what Yadus is about. Yadus is about one thing. It's about Emes, and it's about the part of man's soul that is makir, the ruach of Chachma. The ruach of Chachma. And that's straight through the Nevi'im, all through the Nevi'im. You never have another criticizing the people because they're not religious enough. They're not engaged in enough religious emotion. It's always Chachma, Mishpat, Emes, Tzedakah. Those are the elements. Okay. There's one more thing I want to mention. And then I want to answer the questions that were raised. Any questions left unanswered? Yeah.
Why are we allowed to run emails on Fisher Park?
Excuse me?
First question
was?
The
theory
between
motion and motion. Probably two. That's the question. What else? Anything else?
Also, why is emails allowed to be run on Fisher Park?
EF, too.
What? Ramban about the
chayt
of not building the
mikdash. Okay, yes, okay, right, those three, okay. Yeah, so Iyuv, why is Iyuv really a component of the limud of the day, of today? The answer is, because what is Iyuv? The Rambam has explained what Iyuv is. Iyuv deals with the most important philosophical questions. The Rambam says, he says that in chapter 22 in the third book, the strange and wonderful book of Job treats of the same subject as we are discussing. And as he mentions, as he goes on, it treats of the most important ideas. And the reason is very simple. The reason is because if a person doesn't know how to treat the ideas of God's, how God rules the universe, Chavonish, if he doesn't understand, he doesn't have the basic principles, so the whole day could be a distortion. The whole day could be a distortion, because it's true, the mitzvah of the day is to be involved in kinnis. And the limud of Ksuvim is really, it's an interesting thing. It would seem from the Rambam, the way the Rambam mentions it, he says that he doesn't mention Echa. He mentions Kinos. Why doesn't he mention Echa? Because the answer is Echa is not learned as a Kriya. As a Kriya. The Kriya of the Kisvei Kodesh is really Dvarim Arayim Shebe'Yirmiyahu. Echa really is an experience of the tragedy. Echa is an experience of the tragedy. So there's the experience of the tragedy. But the experience of the tragedy can result in a terrible fate if a person doesn't know how to handle these questions. Why did the Baruch Hu do these things? And if he comes up with has a wrong approach about the Borei Olam, so then I mean his ideas could be can border on Kfirah, a big Kfirah. You see, that's why the Rambam mentions in Eve. I can't go through the. Even though Eve really is a limud of the day, it seems, according to the Rambam, Eve is a limud of the day. I can't go through all the things in Eve that the Rambam mentions, but the Rambam does mention one thing, and he says that Eve was a person who was perplexed by all his questions because originally he was a traditional individual. In other words, he just received his knowledge from others, but he really didn't have any comprehension, any primary knowledge. Didn't have any comprehension. Later, Eeyore understood. When he had all of his ideas changed about he says, so long as Job's knowledge of God was based on tradition and communication and not on research, he believed that imaginary good as is possessed in health, riches, and children was the utmost that men can attain. This was the reason that he was in perplexity. And later, he changed his whole system of ideas. It's his whole system of ideas, and that's why the Rambam says that when he was chozer b'tshuva, after research, when his ideas became advanced, then his whole approach to the problem was changed qualitatively. It was a completely different phenomenon, you see. The Rambam says, divine providence, when Rambam says about Eve, he says, in this manner, consider how the book of Job discusses the problem. He says, which has perplexed many people and led them to adopt in reference to divine providence some one of the theories which I have explained above. All possible different theories are mentioned therein. Okay? He says, the problem is described either by way of fiction or in accordance with real fact. But then the Ram goes through, all the different positions and all the different ideas, which would be nice to go through, but in the future. But Eve is the subject matter of the day. Because without Eve, one doesn't know how to handle the Korban. For instance, just on a basic level, we, Klal Yisrael, lived through the most horrible experience with the Holocaust. And many people have lost their emunah because of that. And al tadnas chavercha shadegil makamo, we can't just condemn people. But on the other hand, one of the ideas that the Rambam mentions is that the reason why people have a misunderstanding and don't really, they lose their emuna is because they view God as in human terms, as if a human would act how a human would act, and they project that onto God. And he says, and that is the essential reason why they come to great misunderstandings and abandon Yahadus. And one of those ideas was what the Chinuch mentions, that a person must never look at God as doing directly evil. You see, God does not act like a human being acts. But ki imar Hashem chesed v'abeim ofdus. How can we say that the Borei Olam is all chesed and rachman, and yet do we live through these tragic times? Just to sweep it under the carpet is not correct either. That's not right either. If some people want to make believe it doesn't exist, that is not an approach. That's not an approach of the others. But what we could say is simply that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all chesed. But we weren't with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the problem. It doesn't take away. The truth is that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ki Yimah Hashem HaChesed Ba'Bei Mofidus. But if we are away, then we can't expect that. We can't expect that fate. So that's a yesod. That's the yesod of the day. If you don't have that yesod, that's the beginning of the Rambam in Hilchas Tainius and the continuation in Ber Chamishi. So the idea, that's why Eiyuv is necessary. That's why Eiyuv is necessary. Of course, without Eiyuv, you simply can't handle the day. So the day is broken up into three components of Limud. The program is three. One is the Divrei Navi and the Chsav on the events, and two is the experiential Avelus of the Kinos. And the third thing is the system, the Sefer HaChochma, that teaches a person how to handle an understanding of the Ashgaha, of divine providence. How to understand it, how to have a proper understanding. If you don't have that proper understanding, so it's no good, it's no avail, because the person can go astray. That's the Rambam. The Eina Kore, what's Lashon Rambam? The Eina Kore Ella. The Eina Kore Ella, the Eo, the Bikinos, who with Varma Ram Shabimio. That's the program. Of course, this program revolves around the Ruach Chochma, Ruach Chochma Ovina. Yes, okay. Now, let me explain an approach to the Ramban. The Chet of Klal Yisrael and great people, great individuals that had this oversight, that they didn't demand the Binyan HaMikdash. And V'ayah Mesalech Ba'ol of the Mishkan. I would just say this much. I can't, like I said, we can't go into the minds of great people and show what their flaws are, because we're not in their framework of knowledge. But we can identify a kind of a situation that lends itself to oversight and that exists in us, though. And that is, over here, it was an amazing thing. You see, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, did I ever demand that Beis HaRosim? What does it mean? It means, V'ayah Mesalech Ba'ol of the Mishkan was the given state. And when there's a given state, and God doesn't demand anything more, there's a tendency for a person to think, that's it. That's it. There's nothing more. There's no demand. Not only that, you could even tell us that maybe that's the way it should be. It should be dafke with all of Mishkan. You find the reasons why. Find out many reasons why it shouldn't be a base. It shouldn't be a base on Mikdash. It should be. It should be on the contrary. All of Mishkan, different ideas, different limudim, many, many ways to interpret and to learn and to give reasons for the status quo of the Ohel and the Mishkan. Mishkan, after all, Moshe Rabbeinu, many, many reasons. I mean, go on for days. But there's one thing. One thing was lacking. What was lacking? What was lacking was the Ruach Chochma, originality. To look at it, to take something that was an institution for Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, the Mishkan, and to look at it anew, in a different perspective. Is this really the Kvod HaShchina? Is this really the Kvod HaShchina? Is there something? If the person, this requires a great move of primary knowledge and originality. That's what it requires. In order to view it in a different way and say, something should be added here. Beis HaRosim. And the Mikdash was different. Mikdash, the dimensions of the Mikdash was different. It was a whole different thing. I mean, many, many, many differences. Akol Miyad Hashem Elai Haskil. Was a special nevuah was given to in order to make the Mishkan, the Mikdash rather, to have the Mikdash be Alpi Nevuah. They couldn't just make changes. But that moment of originality, only David HaMelech had. And only at a certain time in his life. But the Ramban says that was still a flaw. That was still a criticism. Because man must know the Borei Olam on a primary way. And in a primary way, the individual is in a position of different position of insight. Different position of insight. So, that's exactly what the Pasuk, that's what the Ramban is saying, what the Pasuk is saying. See, there was no demand. That's correct. But no one really rethought, what is this really the proper Kvod Shemayim? Is there something lacking here? So David HaMelech said, Hinei Enoch Yesh Veis HaRozim Aron HaShem B'Soch HaYiriyah, and he consulted with God HaNavi on the idea that something should be done, even though there was no demand. But that originality of thought, you see, was David HaMelech's. And there was somehow a complaint against Claudius Sorrell that they never had that originality. So you see, the Ruach Chachma Vina, if a person doesn't have that Ruach Chachma Vina, that's culpability. That's culpability in our system, in the true system, in the Das Emes system. That's culpability. That where was your Ruach Chachma Vina? Where was your openness to ideas? You don't have openness to ideas, you're closed, and you want to simply be happy with the status quo because this is the way it was, Raya Masalach Baal of Mishkan, then the Ruach Chachma Vina is lacking. That's wrong. You're cold. Over there, there's an onesh. That's what the Ramban says, that brought on an onesh to call Yisrael. Okay. There's one more thing. And that is,
yeah.
That's answer the question of the Tilos. You see, what was wrong with the Mapilim? You see, there are two sources for Tila. One source for Tila is the true idea of the Borei Olam and the recognition that we are dependent on him, and he's the only one that can supply us with our needs, and the idea of Omer Lefnei Hashem, that's the true idea of Tefillah. But there's a bad idea of Tefillah. And the bad idea was the idea that Claudius Rowe had in the case of the Meraglim by the Mapilim. See, what was the Mapilim? The Mapilim said no. They said, Anachnu Nalev Melchamnu Kechol Asher Tzivod Ad Hashem Elokeinu. It means simply, and that was the same thing, by the way. By the way, what brought down the Mikdash? The Nevi'ei HaSheker brought down the Mikdash. Who was the Nevi'ei HaSheker, and what was their mode of operation? The Nevi'ei HaSheker were Menabe Good. They were the ones that said, Hananiah ben Azar. He said, in 2 years, Nebuchadnezzar is going to be destroyed. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to return to Klal Yisrael, and the Jews are going to be just as successful as ever. You see? And the Mikdash will thrive. That was, and the Nevi'ei HaSheker did not want to go into Golus. And Yirmiyahu told him, no. He says, be mekabel the Golus, and God will be with you and be mispowel for the nation that you're in whose midst you live, mispowel for their success, and you'll have success and plant gardens and live in Golis and be mekabel the Golis. And then afterwards after you accept the Gzera will come to pass and you'll come back. That's what the Navi Emes said, Yirmiyahu. But the Navi HaSheker could not tolerate that. What they said was what the populace wanted to hear, but they weren't just phonies. It was what they believed also. But where did this belief come from? It came from an inner part of man, a primitive part of man, where things have to be the way the individual wishes them to be. And they cannot deviate from that, you see. That was the Mapilim. That was the Mapilim. The Mapilim were the ones that they anachnu nalav nochamnu kochol asher tzivanu Hashem lekeinu. So it takes on a religious form. They recognize. They'll recognize chait, you see, and they'll chatanu Hashem anachnu nalav nochamnu. But and they put their life at stake. Vatachku ishes klei mochamta vatim lo lo sahara. But there's only one thing. It's all based on one thing. It's all based on the inability to accept the reality of the gzera. And that's why it's all worthless. So that tefillah is the kind of tefillah that's a bad tefillah. A tefillah where the person is mispowered because it has to be that way, must be that way. That tefillah results in one thing, in viewing the Borei Olam as an achzar, kaviyachol. That's what Rashi says. that kind of tefillah. But that was the tefillah of the Meraglim. But the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a different kind of tefillah. That's a tefillah senes. That's not a tefillah because it has to be. That's a tefillah because it's ke'eved lifnei rabo. That's the correct tefillah. And that tefillah you can do 100 times and 1,000 times and 1,000,000 times. And it's still a wonderful tefillah. But there, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tell you. Because it'll result in a misunderstanding in Klal Yisrael. They'll say the Rav is Kasha and the Talmud is a Mafzir. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll tell you. Because Klal Yisrael can't, it'll be bad for them, be injurious for them on their level. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to desist, you see. But that's a different kind of tefillah. So the Yom is really a day. What kind of a day is Tisha B'Av really? It's a day of immense tragedy. Tragedy of immense proportions and realization of that tragedy. But at the same time, it's a day of Yov. It's a day that's not removed from Chachma, from correct understanding and knowledge. Which is always the essence and always resides in the in Libam Shal Yisrael. Okay. All right, we'll stop it. Yeah.
We guys had a question about Torah tonight and tomorrow until Chatzos.
What exactly is what?
What exactly is also tonight and tomorrow until Chatzos? Is it only Basar Yayin or even shaving and haircuts?
Well, I'll tell you what the answer to that is. Meikra din really, the question is, what is Asa tonight? Basar v'yayin only, or is it or washing clothes and all the dinim of the 9 days? I mean, the answer is like this. The answer is Meikra din. It's really just the mission of the Bir Allah has it. Meikra Din, it's only the Basar Yayin. That's Meikra Din. But there is a halacha that a person shouldn't do something that's matnias or rabin, that causes others to wonder, even though it's right. Even though it's right. So I would suggest that certainly there is a kiyum. I mean, there is a kiyum of a niyog. I mean, it's not nonsensical, because since the Mikdash was in Mordechai, I'll say that they would have had the, I would have made this the next day. So you see, there is a kiyum. So the technical niyogim have a kiyum belev also. So there certainly is a kiyum to do it to Chatzos. It's not like a... situation where you say that person is a machmir and the person that anything is mutter, he says zosser, is a shoita. I mean, that's not the case. Over here there is a kiyum because it is avelus, and the avelus continues, and the nigg is tolchatzos tomorrow. But if a person has to avail himself of that, then they can do it. I mean, he could do it. It's not awesome. But you shouldn't do it in a way that's matnias a rabbin, because that's another isser. You see, al tosa tabar la'el b'zal b'davazeh, because people will say that they'll be turned off. So they'll say that the rav is kosher and Thomas mafzir. So you see, you have to consider Klal Yisrael. So therefore, you shouldn't just do it. But if somebody asks me me'ikar adin, it's just basar yayin. But on the other hand, it's a kiyum for chatzos, and also you shouldn't do something that's me as a rabbi. Okay, any other question? That's an important thing. I mean, that's an important thing. It's halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. It's not an unimportant thing. Like I said, you see, al tosef dabrei. You see, it's an important thing. You have to have consideration for other people. It shouldn't be, even though something's 100% mutter, you're not allowed to do it if I ask you and be not me.